Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today. Here on Live by Every Word, I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Something that's very important for every true Christian is baptism. Water baptism is a required step in God's plan of salvation. It has to happen. And there's some amazing history that we can learn from, and we've got a few passages today. We'll start out in Acts 2. And if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these scriptures together and see what God's word says about baptism. Acts 2 and verse 36. Here we break into the middle of Peter giving this powerful sermon to quite a large group on Pentecost, 31 AD. Acts 2 and verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Great question there. Some in the crowd really were pricked in their heart. They knew that they had sinned and they had done wrong. And so they asked this great question, okay, so what should we do? Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," as it should read. And verse 39, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So God has to call people, and when he does, like he was calling people at that time in this historical account here in Acts 2, when they're called and they realize that they've done wrong and they need to go a different direction, something needs to change, well, the answer to the question, what should we do about that, is repent and be baptized. God calls people, and then it's up to them to keep moving forward and repent and be baptized. Verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Quite a busy day, a lot of baptisms that day. 3,000 people heard this powerful message from Peter. God was working with their minds and calling them, and they responded. And they asked that question, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. So baptism is vital. It's a required step in God's plan of salvation. And we can notice the important symbolism in baptism. It's important to understand what baptism symbolizes. And we can see this in Colossians 2. And we'll look at verses 12 through 13. It's not enough to just, you know, read that there in Acts and say, oh, okay, well, I need to be baptized, so, well, let's get baptized. You know, what does it mean? A person has to understand what they're doing, what they're committing to, and what the baptism process symbolizes. And we see this in Colossians 2, verses 12 through 13. Verse 12, it says, "Buried with him," talking about Jesus Christ, "buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Buried with Christ in baptism, and then risen. And notice this quote. It's from Lesson 10 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which is a free course. And you can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com. And if you have not, please do that. It's a great course. It says, "Just as Christ died for our sins and was buried, our baptism, being plunged into a watery grave, is symbolic of the death and burial of our old sinful life. And as Christ was resurrected in newness of life, our coming up out of the waters of baptism, is symbolic of our rising up from our grave to live a new life, free from the guilt of past sins and the death penalty our sins have incurred. It says baptism, as these verses show, what we just read there, pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also pictures the death and burial of the sinner and his rising up to begin living a Christian life. I'll just read that again because it's such an important quote. Baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also pictures the death and burial of the sinner and his rising up to begin living a Christian life. It's important to understand what baptism symbolizes. And we can read about that as we just did there and really get that full picture. You know, it is a death of the old self, the old way. It's a burial. It's a full immersion. And then coming up out of the water, that's rising up to begin living a Christian life, to really be different, to change, and to keep going in the direction that Christ leads. Notice Romans 8. Romans 8 here, and we'll look at verses 8 through 14. Yeah, it's amazing how many people get baptized at various points in life and many different religious organizations and really don't understand what they're doing or what it pictures or what it's supposed to picture. They just think, well, it's something they need to do. Now, we do need to be baptized, but we have to be baptized correctly or else it's of no value. And unfortunately, there are many people that have been baptized in some group at some time, and really there's no value to it. And they think that, you know, they're doing what they should and they're sincere in it, but lacking understanding. We have to understand the symbolism in baptism, and of course there has to be repentance and a calling as well. Notice Romans 8, verses 8 through 14 here. It says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." And of course that comes after baptism and the laying on of hands. But again, obviously a person that is baptized is still physical, they're still flesh. But the point is that they're not living after the natural, fleshly, carnal mind. Now they're being led by the Spirit of God. Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That gets back to the pivotal question. Well, who's a Christian? Only those that have God's Spirit. Verse 10, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you," talking about God's Holy Spirit, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's important that we change the way that we're living, and God's Spirit empowers us to do that, to where we don't live after the flesh and just the pulls of the flesh, but we live after the direction of Christ. That's how we need to be living our lives. It's a new way of life. It's a change. It's a repentance, and then using God's Spirit to move forward. The correspondence course says, "After baptism and the laying on of hands, Christ begins to live within us through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit gives us the spiritual strength as we yield to God to resist the devil's sinful influence, and it imparts to us the faith and love of God to obey his spiritual law." And so we need that help. We need God's Spirit. And when we are baptized by immersion in water, we symbolically express our faith in Christ as our personal Savior. It is also a symbolic expression of our repentance from sin and our desire to bury the old man. And then, of course, keep him buried. And so every day we have to be praying and studying and drawing close to God and really striving to live that way and not let, you know, the old man, so to speak, come back and go again after the the pulls of the flesh. So we are going forward to live according to the will of God. That's what we are to do after baptism and the laying on of hands and receiving God's Spirit. And so we need to be baptized, but we need to understand why we're to be baptized. We have to understand how to do that and go forward in faith then to obey God. Lesson 10 of the Correspondence Course says, baptism shows our total surrender to God. It symbolizes the complete burial of the old sinful self and our beginning a new life surrendered to the will and authority of God. See, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't follow God. It doesn't want to. But this mind of God, which we need God's Spirit to begin to have that mind of Christ in us, then we go forward in a new life, surrendered to the will and authority of God. Notice Acts 8, and we'll look at verses 14 through 17. Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So again, we see now also the importance of the laying on of hands after a person comes up out of the water. This had to be done. Notice again, this is a lesson 10 of the Correspondence Course. It says, the Bible shows that the Holy Spirit is given to a person as a result of prayer and the laying on of hands of a minister of God following baptism. Notice the sequence. First, repentance, then water baptism, next, prayer together with the laying on of hands, and then the receipt of the Holy Spirit. And as we just learned, the receiving of God's Spirit immerses or puts the person into the church, the spiritual body of Christ, and into the divine family of God as his Spirit-begotten child. So there's a process to this, and we have to go to God's Word as we're doing today to see what that process is. Because again, there's a lot of different ideas people have about baptism, and many people have been baptized in some fashion, and they think that, you know, they did what they were supposed to, but, you know, it doesn't often square with the Bible. We have to make sure we're really being baptized the way that God shows us to be. And we see the sequence here, we see the process, and it comes right out of God's Word. That's the example. That's the instruction. And it says, God ordained that his church employ the laying on of hands as a physical symbol of the authority that he gives his ministers. Christ has authorized his ministers to baptize repentant believers, and it is after the physical acts of baptism and the laying on of hands that a repentant believer receives the Holy Spirit. It says, again, this is really important here, millions have been baptized, but very few have ever had hands laid on them for the receipt of the Holy Spirit after baptism. And still fewer have had hands laid on them by a person who really had authority from Jesus Christ to do both. There are many people that will baptize others, but if they don't have the authority of Christ to do it, it's of no value. A minister has to do it that has that authority from Christ. It has to be a true minister. It has to be a true minister of God. So again, there's a lot to the baptismal process. It's important. It's so vital for us. Without it, you know, we don't have any part with God and his plan. And so it is vitally important that we understand the baptismal process and then make sure that, you know, if we're not baptized yet, that we really start thinking in that direction. And if we have been baptized, to make sure that it was done the way that it should have been. You know, many people are obviously very sincere in what they're doing and they think that they're going in the right direction, but again, it has to be according to the Word of God that baptism is done. Correspondence Course, Lesson 10 again, it says, sincere, heartfelt repentance and belief are the only prior conditions for baptism given in the Bible. If a person knows that God commands baptism, knows that he should be baptized, and has truly repented, and again, that's not just, you know, being sorry for something that a person did, but really changing who they are. It says, then he should be baptized as soon as a true minister of God is available. And there's a whole process for that. But baptism is vitally important. It's a required step in God's plan of salvation. And it's important that we understand it and that we really think deeply about how God instructs for this to be done and consider ourselves and, you know, where we are in life and what this means for us. We have a lot more about this topic. It's a great correspondence course lesson. Lesson 10 talks about this, and the whole correspondence course is vital. If you haven't gotten that and studied into it, please do so. And even with today's topic, there's a lot more to study. We just touched some of the main scriptures on it, but there's a lot more to consider and to think about there. So please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course if you have not. And this lesson, Lesson 10, is really vital when it comes to understanding baptism and how important that is and how God instructs us to do it. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.